Joining us is Joyce Adewumi, who is the director and the producer of We Are the Endless Roar, or Water, you could say. One of the fabulous films that will be screened at the Women in Media Newark Film Festival. Joyce, thanks for coming in and sharing some of your thoughts here on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Your film is attracting a lot of attention, but people have known you for quite a while because of all your work with the NYC Multicultural Festival. And this is a film that began in 2018 for you. You took a bunch of people with you to Nigeria and really experienced not only a cultural, spiritual, but even a business trip to Nigeria. Tell us about how this all developed, We Are the Endless Roar.
Thank you, Doug. Well, the whole idea to take people to Nigeria is something that I had for a very long time. You know, occasionally I would take people. Then 2015, I decided to start planning a big way because I felt that it wasn't enough to talk about it. It's difficult for people to understand something they've never seen. So I felt that it's important that I try to bring to people what they're going to see if they were to go to Nigeria. People have heard about, you know, the negative aspects of Nigeria, but never really understanding the culture, the spirituality, the business practice. Some people still thought that we were still living in trees and had no roads, you know, and people were still dressing naked, you know, walking around naked. And I knew that I needed to show this. And so when I put out a call for people to travel with me to Nigeria to have an immersive experience there, it was late in the game, but I was able to get two people, which was, I think it was divine. Because the two people were able to really provide different context to the situation. You know, so when they talked about the experience, you were able to hear from them, from different aspects, their own different point of view, what they saw, how they experienced, what the experiences were. So, yeah, so 2018, we all went to Nigeria. I got a film crew from Nigeria to film the whole thing. We were in Nigeria for 21 days, and every day it was filming. It wasn't rehearsed at all. I did have a schedule. And we followed the schedule, and when we went to Osogbo in Osun State, Ekiti, we went to Ikun in Ekiti State, back to visit another king in Ileife, Osun State, and then we traveled to Kebbi State to visit the king in Argungu. It's an emir, you know. In Argungu. So 21 days of constant exposure to Nigerian culture. Then we came to Lagos. Yes, Lagos, the business aspect, Nigerian culture, the spirituality. We went to look at the sacred waters, sacred sites, you know, just for them to really, really understand about Nigeria, about Africans, why African Americans do what they do, and understand that, you know, that whole thing that we talk about, cell memory, you know, it really, really seeds in play because they were able to connect the dots between what was happening in Nigeria, what they saw in Nigeria, and what their people did here in the U.S., African Americans did in the U.S. So it was really an amazing, amazing journey. And I'm glad that we are all happy that we were able to document it and show to other people.
Show to other people is a real key because we're talking about everybody needs to be educated about what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, this is Joyce, the singer, choreographer, educator based in Harlem, the founder and president of the New York African Chorus Ensemble. You do so many things, Joyce. But this was really a passion for you.
This was a passion for me. Yes, I do a lot of things. I think it's just living life and trying the best that you can to contribute to this global community that we are a part of, you know, that I'm a part of. But yes, I would say that We Are the Endless Roar is a accumulation of everything that I do, the music, the community service, the need to demonstrate to everyone that there's only one race, and that's the human race. The need for us to learn about other people's cultures, and see that as we go around learning about other people's cultures, we have so many similarities than differences, you know. So I would say, yes, that We Are the Endless Roar movie is just a... It just wraps up everything that I do.
We need to start telling our own stories instead of allowing other people to tell stories that does nothing but denigrate us.
The project we have is a project of a better tomorrow.
Because black people have always been portrayed as poor, dangerous human beings.
The trip was already totally worthwhile. We are the soil. We are the people, the first people. And we're going to be here.
Africa is rising. We are the Endless Roar.
You'll get a chance to see We Are the Endless Roar April 3rd at the T. Thomas Fortune Cultural Center at 6 p.m., part of the Newark Women in Media Newark Film Festival. When did you meet Pam Morgan?
A friend of hers saw my movie and felt that it needed to be shown to a lot of people, that everyone needed to watch it. So she got in touch with Pam, and Pam got in touch with me. And then she said they would like to screen it at the Women's Festival, Film Festival. And the rest is history. Yeah, so we've been communicating since that time. I'm first meeting her today for the first time. You know, but she's as beautiful as she sounded on the telephone.
She is indeed.
She is.
We're speaking with Joyce Adewumi, who is the director of We Are the Endless Roar, that is playing at the Women in Media Newark Film Festival April 3rd at the T. Thomas Fortune Cultural Center, and that's at 6 p.m. Let's talk about connecting the dots. As you say, Africa is rising. When these two individuals that came with you, when did you feel that they started to get it and they started to connect the dots?
One of them, after they had a divination, which was about 2 days after they arrived in Nigeria, you will see it in the movie, where she said that this entire trip is worth it. If I were to go back home right now, this entire trip would have been worth it. And she had just arrived and just had a divination. And so for her, that was the moment where she said, you know what? I understand this. I get this. I'm happy that I'm here. And I'm hoping to see more. Hopefully, you know, thankful that there's more. The younger one, in the movie, as she said, she thought she would have an immediate connection, but it took her some time to get that connection. And it took her about, I'll say, a week. But then after that, she didn't want to leave Nigeria. As a matter of fact, when we came back to the U.S., she called me the following day and she was crying. I said, why are you crying? She said she wanted to go back. And I said, you will have an opportunity to go back, but, you know, there's no need to cry. Nigeria will always be there for you. So she went back with me last year.
Can you talk about the access you have to royalty there?
Okay. I am from a royal family, both my mother and my father's side. And I've been very lucky to have met royalties, both the Yoruba ethnic group as well as the Hausa ethnic groups. I've been fortunate to have met people who connected me to them. I always say, if you do good, you will get good back. You will be rewarded in some extraordinary way. So there was a man, a Hausa man, that I met. And he had just come to the U.S. Actually, he works at the, I think I can say this, he works for the Nigerian consulate. He had just come to the U.S. and I said, you know what, let me take you around to get to know New York City so you can feel more comfortable. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know what connection he had. But I took him around. We went to the Rockefeller Center. We went up to the Rock, you know, the observatory and different places, took pictures. He was able to send that home. And when we came downstairs, he said, do you know, I know the Emir of Arugungu. I am so close to him. I'm going to call him right now and tell him about such a wonderful person I met. I was like, what? So right there and there, he called the Emir. And I spoke to the Emir. Very kind voice I heard on the other line. And, you know, they spoke in Hausa. And the Emir was so kind to me. And he invited me right there. He said, I want you to come and visit us in Arugungu. Anytime you're available, just come. And he instructed the man to give me, the king instructed the man to give me his telephone number. And the king said I should call him. So I called him the following day and he became like a father to me. Yes, the Emir. So I told him that we will be coming to Arugungu and when we came to Nigeria, it was amazing. The reception was beyond amazing. It was a royal reception. They had waited the day before because we missed our flight.
Uh-oh.
If you're ever in Nigerian traffic, oh, Lord, get ready to miss your flight sometimes, you know. So we were supposed to travel to the north, and we missed our flight, not knowing that they had prepared a Dunbar for us. A Dunbar is a royal procession with horses, beautifully decorated horses. They do the display, not knowing they had prepared to do that for us. And here we are calling the king, not knowing. He said, I'm sorry, sir, we missed our flight. And the king said, oh, no, Joyce, we had prepared Dunbar for you. I said, oh, my God. I said, you know, if it's possible for us to come by road, we'll come by road. He said, no, no, that is too far to come by road. So fortunately, we took the plane the following day and we met him and still the whole town had been decorated just for us. Because when I went to see him before, the town was not like that. So I knew. Decorations, lighting everywhere. And, you know, everybody came out. And they put on such a phenomenal display for us. People who knew the secret to fire. They were dancing with fire. They would put fire on their body and they will not get burned. People who knew the secret to knife. And they will, you know, show us how sharp the knife was by cutting maybe a sugar cane or whatever. And then they would take the same knife and, you know, just try to cut their stomach and the knife would not penetrate at all. We saw them dancing with crocodiles, hyenas.
Now that's where I put the stop. I wouldn't be doing that.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Then, of course, the king from my town, we went to my town and they also came out, the whole village also came out to greet us and to dance and welcome us. So, and, you know, the king, the foremost king of all the kings in Nigeria, the Oni of Ife, actually, I met him when he came to New York, 2016, and he happened to have come to our family restaurant to eat with his entourage. So they developed a close friendship with him. So that's how I know all the kings that we went to visit.
What do the kings there think about the United States?
They see the United States, believe it or not, as an extension of Nigeria. They feel that there should be a closer relationship in terms of tourism, that people should be able to come to the U.S. and look at the wonderful man-made structures. And they would like Americans to come to Africa and look at the natural wonders that are there in Nigeria. They would like to exchange knowledge because they feel that, yes, America have knowledge, and they have some knowledge that they feel that America can use, that the world could use to make this a better place. So they constantly look for ways of partnering. They are in partnership with some other organizations at the moment. There's a famous river in Arugungun where they have the International Fishing Festival. That's a UNESCO site. There's another place in Oshogbo called Oshun River. This is a place where the Oshun Festival is held every year, where millions of visitors from all over the world attend. That's also a UNESCO site. The river in my town is not yet a UNESCO site. It's also another sacred water, a very special water, where they also have a yearly festival there, but that's not yet a UNESCO site. I'm hoping to help make it a UNESCO site, you know. So there are many things that the kings would love to do. Some, they're already doing some at the moment, you know, having that partnership, but they want to have more partnership with United States.
Do they understand the ongoing problems with race in this country?
Funny enough, they don't really understand why it should happen. The king of Arugungun was trained. He studied in Massachusetts many years ago. He studied there, so I'm sure he must have experienced some racism. But we don't really understand why there should be racism. So
And I imagine for you it's difficult to think about, too, because when you go over there and you see what a wonderful experience they're having, and you come back to the United States and you either face it or you see it around you, Joyce, it has to really be something that boggles your mind.
Well, I've lived in this country for a very, very long time. I have been a victim of racism. I just have to, I guess it's one of the reasons why I do what I do, you know, to try to show that these are just man-made barriers that we have put up to prevent ourselves from living a fulfilling life, you know. So I think that's one of the reasons why I started the New York City Multicultural Festival, to bring everyone together, all the races together, to showcase their culture and learn that we have more differences we have more similarities than differences, you know.
And I know you've worked a lot with the NYPD with that festival, too.
Oh, yes.
Have you made progress in your mind with how the NYPD handles everything?
One of the reasons we started the New York City Multicultural Festival was to foster a better relationship between the community and the NYPD. At that time, the chief of department, Philip Banks III, he was going around. I think he was a chief of Manhattan North, Brattleboro North, and he was going around to the community and asking the community to come up with programs that would help to reduce hate crimes as well as foster better relationship between the police and the community. So at that time when he spoke to me, I told him, I said, Chief, I can only think of a festival because I'm an artist. We don't have a festival that brings everyone together. We all have these different festivals. We have the Irish parade, the Puerto Rican parade, the West Indian parade, the African American parade. Why don't we just bring everybody together so that they can celebrate our diverse cultural expressions and then allow the police to engage, to take part, not only in keeping us safe, but also, you know, being able to talk to people, give them an opportunity to speak to people in a neutral environment. He said, yes, let's do this. So the police came. The police are part of this festival. They're able, you hear them talking, they're discussing with the festival goers. And it made the festival goer realize that the police are just human beings just like they are. I've heard people say, you know, at the festival when we allow people to speak, that they now have a different perception of the police because of the festival, because they're able now to talk to the police. They see them dancing, eating, behaving like human beings, you know, so they realize these are human beings as well. They're just in uniform.
That's pretty powerful.
It is. It is. So that's why we continue to do this. And it gives civilians the opportunity to engage with the police. You know, most of the time when they're engaging with police is during a crime. You know, but this here now, everyone's defense is down, and you know they're able to talk about sports, food, anything, baseball, phones, all that. They're able to ask the questions that they have in a relaxed atmosphere.
You're an educator, so you know that knowledge and communication, you know, leads to power and leads to understanding. And I would imagine that you feel the same way about your film, because We Are the Endless Roar will educate and help people communicate better about Nigeria and also back here in the United States. That's one of the goals, right?
It's one of the goals, absolutely. The Manhattan Borough president is also in the movie, because she has spoken to some of the kings about having a better relationship, a partnership between Nigeria and Manhattan. And that is so that on both sides, the knowledge about each other can be increased. And with increased knowledge will be solutions, better solutions to the problems that we all face on both sides.
How expensive is it to take a trip to Nigeria?
It's not that expensive, you know. The most expensive aspect of the trip is the airplane ticket. So airplane ticket could cost you up to $2,000. But the hotels are not that expensive, you know. So we take people to trips. I know that I'm not supposed to say the price, but it's very affordable. So we just make preparations for their transportation. That is the flight from here to Nigeria, flights within Nigeria, as well as transportation, road transportation between the place in Nigeria and the places that we go to. So it's not expensive. It's just like going to Paris for the weekend, or even going to Florida, you know, for the weekend or for the week. Same thing. Yeah.
You know, after meeting you for just a very short period of time, if we could clone people, it would be nice to clone more Joyce at Awumi's, and I think the world would be a much better place.
Thank you. You're so kind. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
We look forward to April 3rd at the T. Thomas Fortune Cultural Center at 6 o'clock. We'll be We Are the Endless Roar, Joyce's film that makes a screening at the Women in Media Newark Film Festival. Thanks so much for joining us, and continued success.
Thank you so much, Doug. This has been an amazing interview, and I really thank you for it, this opportunity. And I thank Pam as well.